Good morning, and we would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. And if you would enjoy our radio ministry this morning and you would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. This morning's radio ministry is sponsored by Mark and Kathy Smallwood in honor of Joanna's birthday. And our next community meal will be Saturday, February 18th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. So please join us for some good food and fun fellowship here at Trinity United Methodist Church, 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. This morning we have special music given by Georgianne Coons entitled Christ Be Our Light, followed by scripture reading Matthew 5, verses 13 through 20, and our sermon, Salt and Law, by Pastor Angel Armstrong. Georgianne, thank you so much for that beautiful music. We will now turn to Matthew 5, verses 13 through 20, found on pages 958 in your pew Bible. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God. First thing I want to say is we are picking up right where we left off last week. Last week we left off with the Beatitudes, the eight lines in Matthew that Jesus tells us that if we truly want to be followers of him and we want to be true to God, we must do. He also reminded us that if we truly do live like that, we're likely to be persecuted. But you know, that's okay, because when we truly have the presence of Christ in our hearts, we can withstand anything in this world. Jesus gives clear instructions to those who are following him. To us, sometimes they don't seem to make sense. But he engaged that audience, and when he was talking to them, they made perfect sense to all who were listening. Along with the usual crowd of people who lived around the Sea of Galilee, there were once again Pharisees and Sadducees sent from Jerusalem, because they had come to check out this Jesus character once again. It seems like they were always trying to trip him up. They were always trying to trap him. But at this point, there had been murmurs. Was he really going to be as much of a problem as the rumors had led on? Did they need to get rid of him? They were taking lots of notes and looking for evidence so that they could get rid of him, whether on their own or whether they needed the help from the Roman government. They wanted to make sure that Jesus' words would trip him up. They were constantly looking for a way to make him look bad when he did beautiful miracles and healings. It wasn't that they, the leaders of the law, did not know that he really was who he said he was. They did. Others weren't so sure. But by this point, they really knew that he was the Son of God. They did not want their power disrupted. They did not want what was happening in their synagogues and in their temple turned upside down. Now, the people following Jesus were hungry for the things that he had to say. Some of them had begun to believe that he truly was the Son of God. Others weren't quite so sure, but they liked the things that he was saying. Now today, in some of what he was saying, they became confused. Jesus says, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Now to some of them back then, they looked at the ones who were modeling the law, who were upholding the law, and that statement upset them. as it does us, when we look at some of the politicians who are supposed to be modeling the law for us. And they thought, what is he saying? We thought this Jesus was different. What is he saying and doing now? But Jesus did come, not only to fulfill the law, but to help them, and through the reading of the word, us, to better understand the laws of Moses, in which the Ten Commandments are part of. Later in the Gospels, Jesus tells us that the most important commandments, that if we truly live these out, we will be fulfilling all of the law of Moses. The most important commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor like yourself. That's where things get a little difficult for us, isn't it? We can say that we love people, but when they are different than us, when they have different ideas than what we have, is it still so easy to love them? Jesus came not only for the forgiveness of sins. He came to show us how to live with one another. Jesus was determined that he was going to show the true love of God and what Moses meant by the laws. And just as he was determined, the Pharisees and Sadducees were determined to expose him for the rebel that they believed that he was. So far, all they had done was taken a lot of notes. When Jesus started going off with all those lines that we call the Beatitudes, the eight things that people needed to do to follow him, in short, they all simply said, if you really want to follow Jesus, if you really want to be true to God, don't do what the leaders of the law are doing. Don't act on the outside as if you've got it all together and be corrupt inside. Show who you really are to God. Try your best to follow these things that Jesus has told us to do. And when we stumble and fall short, ask for forgiveness and it will be freely given. He had just finished warning everyone about the fact that they would be persecuted. I'd have to say here, I think that he probably looked over at the Pharisees and Sadducees and kind of nodded, because he knew what they were going to do if people really started living the way that he was asking them to live. Jesus took this opportunity to tell a couple of short stories about everyday things that all of the people then would be familiar with so that they would understand what he was talking about. It helps things to make sense if we remember that these folks would have all had salt in their homes, just the same as we have salt in ours. Now, they didn't have them in the little round containers with the umbrella on them, and they didn't have them in fancy and silver and gold containers like the Pharisees likely had them, with a couple jewels on it for good measure. They had a salt rock, something that the traders had brought back with them, something that the salt mines were harvested for. Salt rock was a rock that after the ocean had evaporated and the rock was left, was covered with layers of salt. Ideally, it would be about the size of a grapefruit. And everyone had one in their home. When they wished to have some salt, they would pick up that rock and scrape off just a little bit of it. Everything worked fine until they had scraped off all the salt and they were left with just the rock. Now, what good was that rock unless you collected old rocks? It was of no use, no purpose whatsoever. So when Jesus said that if they or we have lost our saltiness, he meant that once the salt was gone, that rock that it had come upon was of absolutely no use. When we have lost the ability to influence this world for God, as we are called to do, we become as useless as that rock that they threw out their window after all the salt was gone. You see, beloved, salt changes things. And we are called to change things in our environment. We are called to be different from the rest of the world, to flavor this world for Jesus Christ. We are called to preserve. We are called to make a change. We are called to be agents of change. When Jesus asked them what value that rock would have when the salt was gone, I can just see the people looking at each other, nodding their heads and smiling, because they had all run through the rock at some point and tossed it away. They knew exactly what he meant. To understand what came next, it'll help you to understand a little bit more about where scholars believe that meeting took place that day. The traditional spot of the meeting was about a mile or so west of Capernaum, about a mile away from the sea itself. The land sloped gently up to where Jesus was sitting, and behind him was a highway that ran from where Babylonia was to across the northern part of Israel and then all the way down to Egypt. It was a busy route for businesses, for traders. It was a route that all people walked upon. And being up on the hill, it was highly visible. They all knew the story about what had happened years ago when Babylonia and Egypt were fighting, just like the travelers of today, as the enemy armies moved to the land to fight each other. They traveled the same highway, and those who were in fear of attack wished not to be seen. They traveled through towns that were not their own, and they pillaged those towns. They sacked them. They destroyed them. They took all of the beautiful belongings with them. So when a town would hear that the enemy was approaching, which often happened at night because the armies would travel at night when it was cooler, instead of lighting their lamps and illuminating their houses, they would put their lamps under a bowl to hide the light. That way, when the enemy armies came through, they hoped that they would pass them right by and not even notice that they were there. Well, I don't know how it turned out for the city on the hill, but what I do know is it was a story that was heard by most common people that day. So they understood what Jesus was saying when he said that he would not light a light and then hide it under a bowl. I think the crowd would have fully understood this, but I don't think they smiled with quite the same smiles they had when he was talking about the rock and its saltiness. They had been concerned while he was making comments about how bad he thought the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. But there wasn't anything that they could do about it. This was Roman territory, and Rome was not at all interested in how anyone treated the Pharisees. He was encouraging these people to stand up and be noticed. This sounded like he was enticing a rebellion. This was something that could get Rome's attention, and not in a good way. I'm thinking that Jesus may have seen their smiles, and he decided right then and there to drive his message all the way home and turned his words directly to the Pharisees listening that day. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law. I have come to fulfill the law. The Pharisees looked up. Everything Jesus had been saying so far seemed to be an attack upon their way of life, seemed to be an attack upon the principles of the temple. Right then and there, that should tell you that Satan has gotten involved. Because as Jesus said, he did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. Jesus was raised a Jew. Jesus believed in gathering together in the temple to worship God. But the Pharisees made it seem as if he was turning people away from the temple, just as Satan drives a wedge between people like us. He entices our emotions. He stirs up our thoughts. He gets in there and he mixes things up, until all of a sudden we are raging mad at someone and we don't even really understand why. That's warfare, dear. The Pharisees began listening to him and thinking maybe that they had scared him enough that he was beginning to backpedal a little. They didn't know him at all, did they? The crowd became silent. Wait a minute. I thought he had been talking about helping to free us from the tyranny, the cruel control of the legal wizards in Jerusalem. And here he is saying he came to fulfill the laws. But he came to fulfill Moses' laws and the things that the prophets had said, not the things that the Pharisees and Sadducees were trying to hold the people accountable for. The Pharisees and Sadducees stood there with their mouths open. Did Jesus just say what it sounded like he said? Jesus kept going. He went on to say that the laws of Moses will stay around until heaven and earth themselves disappear. And until that happens, not one punctuation mark in those laws should be changed. However, our understanding of those laws could use some work. Was that a cheer in the crowd that I heard from one of the Pharisees and Sadducees? He said that any person who did anything to change or ignore any of the laws, even the smallest of them, would end up becoming the least important person in the kingdom of heaven. You know, the front seats of heaven are reserved for those who practice the law and practice it in the way that it was meant to be. Front row seats there. The crowd was completely confused, except for the folks in the fancy robes. In my mind, a few folks began to walk to the back of the crowd. They were disillusioned. They were disappointed. Here, they had begun to believe that this Jesus was something different, that this Jesus was something good for the common man, that maybe this Jesus really was who he said he was. after all the stuff that he had said earlier, the things that he said that had given them some hope. And now, he turns out to sound just like all the rest of the false prophets who had come along and given teachings. They stood real strong when they first began, the first few times they talked. And then slowly, they began to backpedal, or they began to become controlled by the leaders of the law of that day. The Pharisees and Sadducees were now ripping up their notes and making plans to start their journey back. Just like those who had come before, this Jesus had started out strong, but now he had ended up towing their line, or so they thought. However, just as those leaving were getting out of earshot, they heard Jesus say, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." The folks leaving stopped walking. Cheers began to break out from around the crowd. They no longer cared if the Pharisees saw them. Their hope was beginning to be restored. They believed what Jesus said. They had believed it for a long time, but no one had ever had the courage to say it out loud. No one had ever even thought of saying it with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law standing right there in front of them. Now, they understood that this Jesus from Nazareth was something different from others. And the Pharisees understood that, yes, indeed, he was going to be a problem. One they were going to have to deal with soon. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were experts on the law of Moses. They had memorized them. They spent every day of their lives interpreting and enforcing those laws. But they did not live according to the meaning of the laws. On the outside, they were all dressed up, clean and shiny, enforcing the laws. But inside, they were corrupt. They were judging people by what they thought the meaning of the laws were. The Pharisees and Sadducees just stared at them. Every eye in the crowd was locked on them, but there was nothing that they could do. The Pharisees probably turned around and left right then, saying to one another, "This Jesus of Nazareth has to go." Beloved, salt changes things. Light changes things. The law, as it was meant to be, changes things. Those Ten Commandments are like a guardrail. They protect us because our God knew that if we lie, if we commit murder, if we commit adultery, that we break our commitment with Him and we break our commitment with one another and we begin to hate ourselves. Therefore, those laws are indeed commandments. But they are also a form of deep love and protection. Something that keeps us from dropping over the cliff. You know those curves as you're going 50, 60 miles an hour? And then there's a guardrail along the side just to remind you that there is danger when you step over the line. Jesus wanted us to know that yes, we do need to follow those laws, but we also need to look at why they were written. They were written with love, not with the judgment that the teachers of the law did at that time. We are called to be salt and light. We are called to change the world that we live in. So let your light shine before men. In short, be different from the world around you. Amen.